right? Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him do what? Deny himself. That's repentance. Take up his cross. That's the responsibility. And follow me. That's the plan. Plan is to follow him. Not to follow your own way. Not for you to make up your own rules. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. We speak not as pleasing men, but God who tries our heart. Galatians 1:10 says, do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God as we have taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. This is the way we're supposed to live. So, you know, I don't always understand why God give me certain things. I just, when he give them to me, my job just speak. My job just tell you what he tell me. Amen. I wanted to preach on something else. I wanted to talk about the anointing today. We're going to get to the anointing. But ain't, let me tell you, there ain't no anointing without repentance. You can quit talking about so-and-so anointed. If they ain't repented, they ain't got no anointing. They have a spirit of deception on them, and they're deceiving you. There's no anointing from the Holy Spirit without true repentance. He's not going to empower you. What are you going to empower you to do if you ain't repenting? Empower you to sin more? If you haven't repented, that means you have made a decision that you're going to keep living like you're living. You're going to keep on sinning. So what's he going to empower you to do? Praise the Lord. It is a fact that God loves you unconditionally. He loves you even before he sent Jesus. And you can't do anything, not one thing can you do to stop God from loving you. God loves you. But the fact that God loves you doesn't mean that you can't perish. You can still perish in your sin. Jesus told those Pharisees, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And Jesus came that we wouldn't perish, but that we would have everlasting life. I just thank God today for the truth. And today, I want you to know that God loves you and he desires to minister to you.
Glory to God. Glory to God. You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you. Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'd like to tell you about my book titled, Jesus Did It For You. I'm excited about this book because it focuses on the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Everything Jesus did, he did for our benefit. So many have only a limited knowledge of what belongs to them because of the price Jesus paid for our redemption. He became sin so we could be made righteous. He became poor so we could be made rich. He was beaten so we could be healed and walk in health. He carried our sorrows so we could have fullness of joy. This is just a glimpse of what you'll find in Jesus Did It For You. I'll also share what's included in your Heavenly Benefits Package and give practical insight on how to receive, apply, and enjoy the inheritance God has freely given you. You can receive your copy of Jesus Did It For You for only $11.95 at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, TheWordCC.com, or you can call 318-442-8100. The book is also available in hardcover and Kindle versions. Order your copy today. Jesus Did It For You. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.
K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
We thank you afresh today for the fact that you are God all by yourself. All power is in your hand, and you can do whatever you want to do. And therefore, God, we are grateful to know that trouble don't last always. And we put you right now, God, in charge of every situation and circumstance in our life. And we believe by faith this too shall pass. We give you praise, glory, and honor now as we enter into your word. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us. Change us. Give to us what is necessary, Lord God, that we might see ourselves in the text. And then, Lord, be able to give you praise, glory, and honor for how you profit us in this text and in the belief of the text. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Come on, give somebody the Lord, give somebody the and the praise. Come on. Somebody give him some. Somebody give him some praise. Trouble don't last always. It came to pass. Touch your neighbor and say, it came to pass. That's why it's here. Amen. It came to pass. And sometime it passed in front of your door. And sometime it stays over a few days at your house. Yeah. Even when you move from your old house and you move from your old friends, sometime trouble finds you at your new house. And you need to tell them trouble don't live here anymore. Hallelujah. From the book of Exodus, chapter 14. And I'm going to look at verse 13 because it's just all in my heart. Exodus 14 and verse 13. And it simply says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians which you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. For just a little while, I won't speak from the subject. Say goodbye to your troubles. Help me preach this. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, say goodbye to your troubles. Now, if you really believe that, I believe you can give God a better praise than that. Permit me, if you will, to set this verse up in the brevity of time, because of course this whole 14th chapter deals with the great story of the children of Israel being at the Red Sea and God working this phenomenal miracle on their behalf. But I think you need to understand that this story unfolds, and right in the midst of the Israelites having believed God, having trusted God to leave Egypt and to make their way to the promised land, the land that God had promised his people. And they find themselves now between wildernesses on the left and the right, and the Red Sea in front of them, and the approaching army of Pharaoh behind them. They have gotten themselves in a mess, and they are all hysterical. They're upset. They are without soundness, and they ask Moses questions like, were there no graves in Egypt, and were you not satisfied with that? Did you bring us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Didn't we tell you, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians? And so when you begin to understand all that interplays, because now they know that the Egyptians now are coming after them, and it's not simply to take them back. And so they know that they are at an impasse, because there is no record ever before of the Red Sea ever being split. And so it was an impossibility in front of them. And it was an unlikelihood that Pharaoh was coming to congratulate them for leaving. And so the record says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. The first thing he deals with is fear. Because fear, listen, my brothers and sisters, is exalted when faith is defaulted. Fear is exalted when faith is defaulted. And so the reality was, Moses was able to see the fact that fear had overcome them, had gripped them, that they had lost their faith in what God had promised them and how God would deliver them. And so he helps them to understand, if you're going to ever get anything that God has for you, you're going to have to deal with the fear factor. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it feels like. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter where your enemies are. What you got to know is what God said, he will back it up. So here, my brothers and sisters, when you begin to look at them and hear them and see them, they're moving all around. They're restless. They're squirming. They're scared. They're hollering. They're screaming. They are unsettled. And he says, fear ye not. One of the reasons why God doesn't want us to fear, and this is the kind of fear that's unreverential, this is the fear that comes from being afraid, these kind of fears that come as a doubt to the believing of God's word. This kind of fear is fostered by the enemy, who makes us believe that God is not able to back up what he said. So when he talks about this kind of fear, he says, fear ye not. Not fear a little bit. Not fear some. But he says, fear ye not, no fear. When you reach the pinnacle of your trials and your tribulations, you've got to know, in order for God to be pleased and for God to usher in his promises, you have to be void of fear. So the first thing Moses does is he puts their fears in check. Fear can't live here anymore. But now notice here, he goes on, because fear is not just the only thing that's here in the text, because when he talks about fear ye not, again, it's not just the absence of fear that he's trying to tell them that must be a reality, but there must be the presence of faith. The presence of faith. Look at what he goes on to say. Stand still. Stand still. How can you stand still when you're afraid? When you see the enemy approaching and you know your life is on the line. How can you stand still when everything in you is falling apart? How can you stand still when you're looking for a hiding place and a running place and there's no place to hide? How can you stand still unless faith is moving and flowing on the inside of you? Now listen to what he does. He literally speaks faith to them after he tells them, you can't have no fear. Well, if you can't have no fear, what must I do? And he says, stand still, because now he's trying to get their confidence level back to where it ought to be in God, and that requires faith. So he says, stand still, and conjunction, see the salvation of the Lord. Now, one of the things that you need to know, my brothers and sisters, you can't see God working if you're running. You can't see God working the matter out if you're fearful and if you've got your eyes closed and if you're scared of what you might see or what might happen in a moment. He says, listen, I need you to stand still. One, what this says to the enemy is that you ain't running no more. You've taken a stand. And that stand is based upon what God has promised you. Listen, and when you take that stand, all heaven takes notice of the fact that you believe what God said. And your salvation or your demise will come at whether God fulfills what he promised you or not. But in any case, you're going to stand right there until it's over. But notice that he doesn't just want them to stand. He wants them to see the salvation of, which means origin of, the Lord. In other words, what he's telling them to do is, I need you to stand still and watch what's getting ready to happen. He wants them to be filled with anticipation and expectation of the move of God. You see, my brothers and sisters, one of the problems with many of us is because we're fearful and because we don't have the faith that we ought to operate in, we can never, ever stand still and watch what God is getting ready to do. Our lives are filled with unrest and uneasiness, and we're running here and we're running there to this person, to that person, to this post, to that post. Every situation, because we can't stand still and believe God. And so, my brothers and sisters, see the salvation of God. This word salvation represents two words. It represents deliverance and saving. Deliverance and saving. Now, if you stand still, God will deliver you. But he's not delivering you just to deliver you. He's delivering you to save you for what he's got for you. And it wouldn't make no sense for him to save me if I'm not going to anything better than what I'm dealing with right now. So the salvation of the Lord is more than deliverance from my enemy and from my problems and from my trouble. It is the saving of me for the blessings that he has promised me. When I begin to realize, listen, that troubles came to make me strong, it's only because God needs me in a better place than I am in when he releases the better blessings he has for my life. See, the reason why some of us can't get what God has for us right now is we're not strong enough to handle them. And every time we go through things and we go through struggles and we exercise our faith, we get stronger and stronger and stronger. And God delivers us out of this, but it's not time yet to save us for that he has for us. So he lets us go through some more stuff. And we exercise our faith and we get stronger. And he's ready to give it to, but we ain't quite ready yet. So he lets us go through some more stuff. And he just keeps on and we keep exercising our faith. Every time we go through some stuff and he delivers us out of it, we're stronger when we came out than when we went in. And it's all for the purpose of being able to enjoy the blessings that he has for us. So he deals with fear, the fear of the people. But next thing is so important, and I've already begun to deal with it, but I need to make it clear that he also deals with the focus of the people. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Focus. Focus. When you stand still and focus on the hand of God moving in your situation, a lot of things don't make sense while you're going through them, while you're moving and rushing and while you're here and there. But when you get a chance to stand still and observe closely what God is doing, it changes the dynamics of your situation. You begin to realize God has got this thing fixed. If he hadn't had it fixed, you'd already be dead. The enemy would have already overtaken you. You would have already been overpowered, but it hadn't been done yet. And God wants you to be still enough to observe the fact that you've already been through enough to have taken you out of here. And if he didn't let that take you out of here, what makes you think he's going to let this take you out of here? There's obviously something bigger and better that God has for you that you can't see right now because you're not focused. See, that's your responsibility. To focus on, to be able to look closely and intently at what God is doing. The reason we miss God so much is because we're looking at all of the big things. And we miss him in the little things. Do you know, if you started counting your blessings and started counting them one by one, that you'll start realizing how truly blessed you are if you really focused on them. But let me tell you what we don't do. We don't focus on the blessings until we lose the blessing. How many of you heard the saying, you never miss your water till you well? Long as the well is flowing with water, you can go anytime you want and dip and be refreshed in it. You don't really pay attention to how blessed you are to be able to quench your thirst at your own desire until your well runs dry. Everything else tastes good but water. When you got more than enough water. I don't really like water that much. You like everything, but let water become scarce. And your body will crave for water, and all that other stuff you used to drink won't do you no good. That thirst will not be quenched by anything else other than water. And so God wants us to see there are some things, my brothers and sisters, that we have got to pay attention to. How many days we go in and out of the day and never thank God for the little things? How many times do we go in and out of a day and never say, God, thank you for the activity of my limbs? You never really miss your ability to go when you want to go, get up when you want to get up, do what you want to do until you can't do it. Until someone else has to bring you, till someone else has to lead. You never really pay attention to the fact that God has so many beautiful things he's created, but you don't even stop to smell the roses when you can look at them and smell them because you're too busy. So you never say, thank you, Lord. Even when you smell the sweet fragrance of the roses, because you're too busy. Not focusing on the little things. But it's not until you get to the point where they are no longer available. They're not there, that you begin to realize and appreciate what a blessing. What a blessing. I thank God. I've always loved to read. I've always loved to study. I've found study and research fascinating. Always like to learn something new about things I've heard, things I've studied. Always wanted to go into a deeper place. Knew God had more revelation in it. So that's been a part of what I did. And it was a part of my life so much so that it was like second nature. And in these days of challenge, with my sight being challenged like it was and is, I thank God how all that he's put down in me. Went to the doctor the other day and they flashed the big E on the wall and say, can you see the big E? I say, I can't see the big E, and I don't know if the big E can see me. But what I do know is that God is faithful and God is able. And I thank God for having hid the word in my heart. When I could have been reading some stuff that wouldn't benefit me, when I could have been flipping through magazines and looking at pictures and running through this and running through that and looking at that and wasting hours of time watching mindless television and filling my head with stuff that just didn't matter, I thank God I spent time with God. And so now I can focus. When the devil start trying to bring things up to me and try to bring fear to me and say, well, what happens if your sight is not restored? I can tell him, listen, what God has given to me is mine and you can't take it. I don't need sight to believe God. God is faithful. As a matter of fact, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by. I ain't even got to read it to build my faith up. I just need to get in the presence where somebody is reading the word of the Lord, and my spirit will connect with the Holy Spirit, and whatever revelation or truth God wants to share with me, he'll speak it to me and let me see through my spiritual eyes. Come on here. I don't need nobody to feel sorry for me. Sorry for what? What I see, you wish you could see. What I know, you wish you could know. What God shares with me, oh, you wish you had the intimate times. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Somebody has said, because we see too much. When we walk by sight,